Genesis 27. It's a long chapter, so we're going to read most of it. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, and no specsaver to turn to, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now, Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. And when Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats, so that I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it." She knew she could cook as well as Esau, even if the old man would never admit it. "Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down," as if you'd be tricking him, eh? "And bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, put them on her younger son Jacob. She also covered his hand and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son? "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come here so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." And Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob." Nothing wrong with his hearing them. "But the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy, like those of his brother Esau. You're supposed to be laughing at that, guys. You know, the biblical writer's just playing with you here. So he blessed him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "Yes, I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat, so that I may give you my blessing." And Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought some wine, and he drank. And then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you, and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, who should appear but his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father, who was sitting there eating a few rennies after that meal. Then he said to him, "My father, sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me a blessing." His father asked him, "Who are you?" I'm your son, he answered, your firstborn, Esau. Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came and I blessed him. And indeed, he will be blessed. And when Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, me too, my father. But he said, Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. And Esau said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? He's deceived me these two times. Jacob means grasp the heel, okay? He's deceived me these two times. He took my birthright and now he's taken my blessing. Then he asked, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? Isaac answered Esau, I have made him lord over you and have made all his relatives his servants. And I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father. Then Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck. And Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Well, if after the first chapter of this soap opera last week, you're expecting things to get better this week, they've just got worse. How much of a mess does it have to be before God gives up and says, even I can't sort this one out? And maybe your life is a mess this evening. But I give you this news, God can sort the mess out. God can do complicated. It's not a fairy tale and they all lived happily ever after. If you're expecting that at the end of this story, you're going to be very disappointed. Things happen in the real world where real people make real mistakes and real people get really hurt. Whatever it might be, it could be divorce, it could be you're in jail, on your way to jail, it could be you've told a big lie and have just been found out, it could be you've run away from the situation, it could have been you've just lost your job and your career, well, I don't know, it could be anything, it could just be a relationship that's broken up, it could be anything. There's no easy solution, but listen, God can do complicated. God's good at doing complicated things. Isaac's dysfunctional family is just getting worse. Isaac doesn't speak with his brother. He doesn't get on with his wife. And his two sons are at each other's throats. And he's ill in bed. He can't see very well. And he's convinced he's dying. He isn't, by the way. He's got decades left in him yet. But he thinks he's dying. So he consults his bucket list. And top of his bucket list is bless your son before you die. So, oh yes, I better do that then. Oh, and second on the list, a nice tasty meal. Spicy. He's losing his taste. He's lost his eyesight. His taste is going. He's getting older. So I could just murder a nice stew, he says. I could just, I'll do that. I'll have a stew, I'll bless my son, and I'll die. Isaac, that's not how it's going to be. But what he decides actually makes things worse. He decides to give a prophetic paternal blessing to Esau. Esau, of course, is the real man of the house, not like that wimp Jacob. But wait a minute, wait a minute. When those two children, those twins, were born, wasn't there a prophecy? If you turn back to Genesis 25, verse 23, Rebecca's just had two babies. And the Lord says to her, two nations, or she's about to have two babies, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. What about that, Isaac? What about that prophecy? Why are you blessing the elder when there was a prophecy at their birth that the younger would be superior, would have the blessing, would inherit the blessing given to Abraham? Well, that prophecy when they were born, it was just a woman, wasn't it, who gave that, his wife. He's not going to listen to her. Sorry, guys, sorry, ladies, but Isaac is not the kind to listen to his wife. And even if God does speak through her, and he does speak through her, he won't listen because it's a woman. And it's his wife. He's a man. He knows best. Interestingly enough that Jacob learnt the lesson, by the way. It was, we might come to it later. We will come to it later on. But when his two grandsons, Joseph's sons, are brought to him to be blessing Ephraim and Manasseh, he swaps his hands over, and his right hand blesses the younger one. And Joseph said, no, Dad, you got it wrong. And no, he said, I got it right. Jacob learned, and the younger one gets the blessing, the bigger blessing, rather than the older one. So that's in the future. Jacob learned, but Isaac, he's going to bless the wrong one. He's ignored the prophecy. He's ignored the fact that Esau is a total unbeliever, totally cynical and skeptical about God and religion and all things to do with it. And he's hiding the fact from Rebecca, he thinks. I just love verse 5. Now Rebecca was listening as Isaac spoke to his son. The biblical author is joking. You're supposed to laugh. Look, we were talking to somebody at the door last week, and he said, yeah, you know, we're too po-faced when we read the Bible. Often the biblical authors, they're winking at you. Their tongue is so firmly in the cheek, they've got a bulge like a hamster, you know? Rebecca just happened to be listening. She was just walking past the door on her way to the kitchen, and she happened to hear. Yeah, it was just accident, wasn't it? She said, I wonder what that old fool's up to now, is what she said. She made jolly sure she was listening. Now, it so happened that Rebecca, and she says, tell you what, I can fix this. I can fix this. Stand clear. When this woman decides she can fix it, you know things are going to get hot. The means, she thinks, justifies the ends. Deception, lie, manipulation, well, that's all. And so she calls Jacob. And don't you just, again, the way the biblical writer portrays Jacob at this point in his life. She calls his son. She calls her son and she says, Jacob, tells you what we're going to do. And he meekly says, oh, but no, it's not going to work, Mum. She says, do what I say. And he says, if my father touched me, I would appear to be tricking him. Again, you know, the biblical author's pulling your leg here. You know, I would appear, yes, you are jolly well tricking him. And if you're found out, it serves you right. And what does his mother say? It's just wonderful. The son's a grown man. And she says, oh, let the curse fall on me, just to what I say. He says, yes, Mum. Anything you say, Mum. I'm not going to think for myself at all, Mum. I'll let you think for me. She is going to get her own way. She's going to disrespect her husband. She's going to disrespect her eldest son. Maybe our prayer should be, protect me from getting my own way. Maybe that should be our prayer. But Rebecca would never understand that prayer. In fact, if you understand that prayer, you don't need to pray it. If you understand it, you really don't need to pray it. So she's going to get her own way, but at what cost? How many control freaks does it take to change a light bulb? Only one, because nobody else knows how to do it properly. And so Rebecca to the rescue. Heads down in the trenches, guys, because the flak is going to be flying after this one. So Isaac makes a mistake. Rebecca makes a mistake. And now Jacob, of course, makes a mistake. He's under pressure from his mother. He's already stolen, or he hasn't stolen, he bought his elder brother's birthright for a pot of lobscouse. Do you remember that last week? Swap you the lobscouse, or a Lancashire hot pot, I don't know what it was, in exchange for your birthright. Oh, yes. You know, now he wants the paternal blessing. It's like having Mayfair and Park Lane in Monopoly. You've got to have them both. The end justifies the means. What if I'm caught? Oh, just do as I say. Yes, Mum. Domineering mothers ruin their children. Domineering mothers ruin their children. She has not made a great job of bringing up Jacob. It must be said. He has not turned out very well. And this, Lord have mercy on us all, is the family through whom all the world is going to be blessed, according to God's promise to Abraham, Isaac's father, Jacob's grandfather. You're looking at this, I'm looking at this, you're saying, how? What? You're joking. Out of this mess, how is the world going to be blessed? But I told you, God can handle complicated. So, you've had... By the way, there's no good guy. If you're looking for the good guy to emerge in this story, it's not going to happen. There are no good guys in this story. Actually, there are no good guys on the planet. This good guy, bad guy, it's a myth. We're all a mixture of the two. And depending what time of day you catch me, I'm a good guy or a bad guy. Depending what situation we're in, I'm a good guy or I'm a bad guy. Put me under pressure, you suddenly discover how good or how bad I am, but you never know. Give me the kind of upbringing that some people have had that have turned out bad too. Don't do the good guy, bad guy thing. We're all a terrible mixture of the two. And these people, trust me, are a mixture. Although at the moment it's kind of heading towards the bad side, isn't it? So all we want now is Esau to walk through. Oh, good old Esau. Hairy Esau. Nicknamed the Red, Edom, because of the red lobscouse or red stew, whatever it was, he gobbled down in exchange for his birthright. Macho man walks through the door and discovers his brother has stolen the blessing. And guess what? Macho man blubs like a baby. Then Esau wept aloud. At this point, you're supposed to be saying, oh, yeah, yeah. The biblical author's playing with us again. You know, macho man has broken down and is crying like a baby. And you're supposed to say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just what's happening here? He never learns. Hebrews 12 has a very low opinion of Esau. Hebrews 12, verses 16 to 17. See that no one is sexually immoral, or see that no one is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance and rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. And he bleats to his father like one of the goats that's just been killed for the stew. He says, Jacob's deceived me. And he took my birthright. You see, he took your birthright, Esau. He took your birthright. Just forgive my memory here, Esau. Didn't you sell it to him for a plate of lobscouse? Well, yeah. He didn't take it. You gave it away. That's how much you thought about it. Now you want it back. Well, I'm sorry, mate. Whose fault is that? He never learns. He wants God's blessing, but he doesn't want God. Like all these people who just pray, you know, Lord, let me win the lottery. I bought the lottery ticket and I prayed to God. Yeah. You want the blessing, but you don't want God. You know, we used to go around door to door on my Trevan estate when we were in the school there, just asking people if they wanted prayer, and we'd pray for them in a service. It was okay, but people, is there anything I can pray for? Yeah, pray that I win the lottery, was the most common answer. And my reply was, actually, there's something better than winning the lottery. Would you like that? What's better than winning the lottery? It's finding Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's much better than the lottery. And a look of disbelief crosses their face. You're joking. No, I'm not joking. You want God's blessing, but you don't want God. Let me not get caught fiddling my expenses. Let me get revenge. All our prayers. All our prayers. The result is one huge mess. Jacob and Esau are at each other's throats. Isaac and Rebekah are living at each other's throats. But still, Rebekah hasn't finished. Because if you read on in the passage, she realizes that Esau is going to kill Jacob. She's convinced of it. And there's no reason to doubt her. So she says, well, I tell you what. And let's get rid of Jacob. I don't know what we'll do. We'll send him to my brother Laban. Oh, good old Laban. You're going to meet Laban next week. You are so going to love Laban. But she's got to. She's got to think of an excuse. So she says to Isaac, "Look, I'm disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living." And again, the biblical author is joking. He's pulling your leg. He's just kind of saying, you know, sorry, Rebecca, you're tired of these women. You mean these women, they lie, they deceive, they manipulate, and you're tired of them? So she sends him to Laban, my brother. Now listen, if Jacob is in junior school when it comes to deception, Laban has a PhD. But you're going to meet Laban next week. You are really going to love the man. Esau, of course, if you read through the story, Esau sees that his mother really doesn't like the women, so he goes and marries two of them. In fact, he goes and marries two of Uncle Ishmael's daughters. Remember Uncle Ishmael, the one Isaac's not talking to? You know, that branch of the family we don't talk to, so he sort of goes and marries two of them. There, that will please Mum and Dad, won't it? He knows how to flatter, does Esau? And Jacob gets sent off to Uncle Laban's house. And, right, you know, Rebecca never sees her son again. Actually, that's just a reminder. She never meets him. By the time Jacob comes back, and he does come back, she is in her grave. Let me ask, is that mess big enough for you? Is this soap opera worth watching, or is it not? Just who's going to sort this mess out? I mean, not even Jeremy Kyle is going to get these people talking to each other anymore. You know, if these guys go on Jeremy Kyle, it's going to be the security men holding them back and the audience crying for their blood. Can anyone sort this? Actually, God can. God can. Jacob is about to embark on a 20-year journey. in which he's going to encounter God and come back a very different man. But it's going to be a long, hard journey. And the biblical writers, there's a sort of under message towards this, between the lines message, which is saying, just hold on to that promise, Abraham. All the nations are going to be blessed through the line of Jacob. It might not appear so at the moment, but God is going to do something here. It is going to happen in the most dysfunctional family in the Bible, or one of them. God is still going to handle the mess. Now, let me say this. If God can handle this mess, he can handle your mess. Okay? He can handle my mess. I need to keep reminding myself when things go severely pear-shaped. Wait a minute. God does complicated. God does mess. God does soap operas. God does horror stories. God can handle it. But it's going to take 20 years. So let's bow our heads and pray. And Van can join me on the platform, please. And Lord, I want to thank you for the skill of the biblical writers. They are just masters at telling a tale. They're masters at making us laugh and cry and hope and despair at the same time. Lord, we've done all four this morning, this evening. We've despaired, and yet there's hope in this story. Somehow, you're going to sort it. What a God you are. Lord, do you mind this evening if we hand you our mess? If we hand you our broken dreams this evening? Do you mind, Father, if we hand you our botched decisions, our bad judgment calls, our moments of madness? Do you mind, Father, if we hand you this evening our skepticism, our cynicism, our despair? Do you mind this evening, Father, if we hand to you this flawed person that each of us is, this mixture of good and bad, if we hand you ourselves this evening and say, Lord, have mercy upon us? For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.